we live in a world reinforcing a lie. What lie? The lie that there is only so much to go around. That those who have are stealing. Stealing from those that have not. Every area of your life, my life, our lives, is affected. Panic, jealousy, and obstacles. It becomes a catalyst for our complaints, a scapegoat for our failures. But what if all of that was built on a lie? What if we're seeing everything, from a completely different perspective than what God intended? What if our view has been completely distorted? What if you could see, I could see, we could see that there is more than enough for everyone, all of us in this world, to find success, fulfillment, joy? How would that change how you live your life?
I want to just kind of put a context on it for you, because I think it's so important to understand. We as Christians are connected with a God that is unlimited. When we look at our world and we look at success, we look at those that have conquered things, or they've done things, or they've been successful. Our world, especially if you watch the news, will tell you that they did so on the backs of everyone else. That those that have taken from those that have not. Which I think is interesting. If you've got not, if you have not, how can anyone take what you have not? But anyways, this idea that if you are successful, that means that someone else cannot therefore be successful. That our world is a zero-sum game. There's only so much to go around. To give you an example, to best really put it in the way that that my mind works, I truly enjoy apple pie, especially around fall time. Anyone with me? Apple pie? Okay. If you good. Okay, you are the good people. I'm just saying right there. If you've never done this before, get some New York sharp cheddar cheese, a block of it. Don't melt it. Don't shred it. Get a piece of that. Cut a piece of that. Take a bite of that apple pie with that New York sharp cheddar cheese. It will change your life. Back to my point. Okay. If I had a pie, even if it was a pie this big, and I said, I'm going to give this section over here, everyone over here, a piece of that pie. And then I said, now hang on a second. I don't want to just give this section over here a piece of the pie. I want to give this section over here a piece of the pie. What does that mean about the size of the piece of the pie that you guys just lost out on? It went like this. If we could cut it that slice. Because, right, there's only so much pie. That's how we see our world. There's only so much water. Climate change. There's only so much this. There's only so much that. Because we have bought into the lie that there's only so much. That is not just a lie that the world tells us. That is a lie formulated within the mind of Satan himself. Because if he can get you to believe that there was only so much to go around, then you begin to look at those around you and you say, they have what I deserve. Because there's only so much to go around. When somebody is successful, then you do not celebrate them. You become jealous of them because they have what you wanted, or you deserve, or you owned, or you X, or you Y, whatever the case may be. Because when you believe that there was only so much, you are now in competition with every other individual on the planet for whatever's left over. And that is why it is such a devious, deceptive, undermining lie. Because God says that the most important law, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is what? Love others. Love others. It's really difficult to love others when you think they're stealing from you, isn't it? It's really difficult to celebrate others' victories when you think their victory was at your cost. And so that's why this is so important for especially those of us who know God to understand. The big idea today is this. We serve an unlimited God. We serve an unlimited God who wants to provide limitless resources. We serve an unlimited God who wants to provide limitless resources. God is not hemmed in by the things of this world. God is not limited by the things of this world. God is not limited by your ideas or your expectations or anything. God is limitless. He is unlimited. And God says that He wants to bless us, that He wants to provide everything that we need, that He wants to give us all the blessings in the heavenly realms, that this is what God wants for us. But yet we, as Christians, on a whole, walk around defeated, discouraged, and destroyed because we don't think we have enough. Now, this is not a message, nor is it a series about, you know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You know, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Bible teaches either. But the Bible does teach that God has given you everything you need, and here's the caveat, to become who He's called you to be. So one of two things is screwed up. Either you believe that you're supposed to be something that God says, no, that's not what I called you to be, or you're not believing that God has given you enough. It's one of those two things. So we serve an unlimited God who wants to provide us with limited resources, and today what I want to do is I want to give you a big picture of God. And so the first thing I want to share with you today is that God is infinite and God is transcendent. Infinite and transcendent. Now I know some of you are like, what? God is infinite and transcendent. Infinite means He has no boundaries, no limitations. Think of the biggest thing you can think of. Some of you thought of the ocean just then. Think of the biggest thing you can think of. Some of you thought of our galaxy. You're like, wow, our galaxy is so big. But it's nothing compared to our universe. The vastness of our universe, which is untouched, untapped, unseen by human eye, the vastness of our universe is but a speck in comparison to the infiniteness of God. Now grasp that for a moment. What we experience, what we see, the biggest thing you can imagine is nothing in compared to the unlimitedness, the infiniteness of God. He is above and beyond. That's what the word transcendent means. He is not limited by our world. Now, okay, I shared this with the teenagers several months ago, but just everyone take a deep breath with me, okay? Okay, none of you did it. Only a handful of you. And I know you're like, I didn't brush my teeth this morning. It's okay. Here, you ready? Deep breath. It's a cleansing breath because you're going to need it. God isn't limited, nor is He bound within time or space. Everything in your world works within time, right? Your alarm clock goes off in the morning. It's time to get up. It's time to get dressed. It's time to take a shower. It's time to take kids to school. It's time to go to work. It's time to pick the kids up from school. It's time to do. Everything is limited by time. God created time. God is not limited by time. God is both in yesterday, present in today, and already in tomorrow. He's not captured by time. So all that we know, all that we live is happening all at the same time to the eyes of God. You go, how is that possible? I don't know. That's what the Bible says. Look at this. Job chapter 36, verse 22, it says, look, God is all powerful. All powerful means all powerful. There's nothing beyond His power. There's two other phrases that we use in talking about God. All-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. He is all-powerful. There's nothing that He cannot do. He is all-present. He is everywhere all at the same time. He is all-knowing. There is nothing beyond the scope of His knowledge. Nothing. The second verse, 1 Kings 8:27, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, in his dedication speech to the temple, the glorious temple of the Old Testament, that's just massive. We don't know it. It was destroyed. We've never seen pictures of it. We can just get a glimpse of what it was like according to the writers of Scripture and how they described it. And as Solomon stood at this massive, glorious temple, in the middle of his phrase, he says this. He says, but will God really live on earth? Because that's what their thinking was, that God lived in the temple. He says, but will God really live on earth? Why? Even the highest heavens, the universe cannot contain him. How much less temple that I've built. Talking about the infiniteness of God. There is nothing that can contain God. The biggest thing that you can think of, you go, well, you could build a container big enough to contain it. You go, well, the ocean's pretty big. I know, but you could, in theory, build a container big enough to hold the ocean. You could, in theory, build a container big enough to hold the universe because the universe has limits. Therefore, you could put it in a container if you could potentially build something big enough. But there is nothing that you could build that's big enough to contain God. That's why we say, this building, this is not the church. Here's the amazing thing. Even though God cannot be contained by anything, he chooses to dwell within you, a follower of Jesus Christ. The infinite God, who is transcendent and above all things, chooses to reside within you when you accept Jesus Christ and work through you. God is infinite, and he is transcendent. He's not limited by these things that we're limited by. The second thing, God is both creator and sustainer. Now, if you grew up in church, or you've been in church for a while, you're like, yes, I know. You know, God created. We understand that, but it's even bigger than that. God is not just the creator of everything. He is the one that holds everything together. He literally is the glue of all that we know. He holds everything together. When he removes his hands, it'll begin to spin out of control into chaos. We actually see that when we look into the book of Revelations, when God begins to remove himself from the world, and we see the world destroying, revolving into chaos because God has removed himself from it, because God is the creator and he's the sustainer. He holds everything together. The natural laws are not natural laws. They're God's laws that he set in play. That's why I always chuckle if you say, oh, science and religion don't mix. Well, first of all, religion is man's construct. But science and the Bible, boy, they work really, really well together. Because the Bible talks about God's laws, and God's laws are the ones that created nature's laws, and nature's laws do not transcend God's laws because God is the one that holds all things together. Don't ask me to say that again because I don't think I can. But he holds it all together. He keeps it all in place. Look at this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, I love this. By the way, those of you that are still struggling with the whole transcendency of God and God not limited by time, what does it say? In the what? The beginning of what? Time. In the beginning. This is when time began. God's first creation was time. At the end of the first day, he said, and the morning and the evening were what? The first day. He created time. He lives outside of time. I know, I don't want to focus on that. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then we fast forward to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, where the Apostle Paul is talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He didn't just make it. He keeps it spinning. You go, I just don't know that God can do this. He holds it all together. He is the very core, the very reason that things still happen in our world, that things still exist. Third, not only is he infinite and transcendent and the creator and the sustainer, but God does not and has not changed. God does not and has not changed. Now, we all change, don't we? In fact, those of you that are married, you're like, we've gone through several changes. There are things that's happened in our world. Things change. Everything changes. Your spouse changes. Your kids change. Those of you that are RAs, your kids are starting to graduate and go off to college, you're like, man, they're changing so much. Stop. Because everything in our world changes. There is nothing in our world that does not change. Think about it. Name one thing that doesn't change. Everything in our world changes. But God never changes. The God that we read about in Genesis chapter 1, that spoke the world into being with "let there be light," is the same God today. He hasn't changed. His power hasn't diminished. His authority, his desires haven't changed. When God said to the nation of Israel, "I want you to be a light to the world," that was what God's desire was. When God said to you and I as Christians, "I want you to be the light to the world," that hasn't changed. When God says he desires to bless us, that hasn't changed. God has not changed. God will not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "I am the Lord and I do not what?" That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I don't change. You're like, "Well, God, I feel like..." No, I haven't changed. So if God hasn't changed, who has? It's us. You go, "Well, yeah, but then there's that Jesus guy." Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He hasn't changed. He never will change. He is always the same. God will always be infinite. He will always be transcendent. He will always be all-powerful. He will always know all things. He will always be everywhere all the time. God is not limited by anything that we have to say or think or do. God is both creator and sustainer. He always will be, because God never changes. Which is powerful and beautiful, because you can know when you take the Bible and you open it up and it says God wants to X, Y, Z, guess what? It's the same as true as it was written 2,000 years ago as it is today. God's promises don't change. God's intentions don't change. God's desires don't change. They don't change. God is the same all the time. So if that's true, if all these things are true, then why do we still feel like we don't have enough? Why do we feel like our resources are limited and our options are few? Has the God of creation, the one who split the Red Sea, that made fire fall from heaven, that healed the sick back to health and raised the dead back to life, has he somehow changed? Well, the Bible says that God never changes, so it can't be him. Maybe he's unintentionally limited the reach of his power in our modern world. Maybe because we all carry iPhones now, it has somehow, the network has somehow limited God's power. Maybe that's what's changed. No. Because God is not hemmed in by those things. Why aren't we seeing miracles in our lives? Why are we struggling to break free from habitual sins that keep us down? Why don't we experience crazy blessings on a regular basis? And again, when I say blessings, don't think cha-ching, think God's blessings. Why don't we experience that on a regular basis? Well, if we read the whole Word of God, we see there was a generation of people in the Old Testament who followed God, but they also missed out on a whole lot of things because of their attitudes, because of their perception, because of their perspective. God moved into the nation of Israel when they were held captive for 400 years by the nation of Egypt, and he set them free. Yet that generation that God set free from Egypt never was able to enter the promised land because they constantly doubted God. Even though God showed him over and over and over and over and over again how awesome and powerful and how he desired to bless them, how he desired to do those things, this group of people, this generation that God called them, he said, they are going to miss out on my ultimate blessing because they continued to doubt me. Psalm 78, 40 through 43, the psalmist is writing, and listen to the words that he uses. How often they provoked him. That's God. How often they provoked God in the wilderness and grieved God in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zoan. You see that? Provoked, grieved, tempted. limited, didn't remember. It wasn't that God changed. It wasn't that God's desire to bless them changed. It was that they refused to believe what God kept telling them the truth was. We, just like Israel, have limited the working of God's power in our lives because of how we see things. Because of how we refuse to change our perception and our perspective. We continually view things the way that the world does. We still believe the lie that Satan has woven into the fabric of our culture. And until we remove those things in our lives, we literally limit the unlimited God's working in our life. God's power isn't limited, but His power working in us becomes limited because of our perception, because of our perspective. And because of that, we will never experience or enjoy God's more than enough for us. So what I want to do is I want to share with you three ways that each and every one of us are limiting God's working in our lives. I'm just going to share three of them. There may be more, but three that I know of, three that I know that I've done. The first one is this. We doubt His desire to bless. We doubt His desire to bless. We look at God and we go, God, I just look at the situation, God. And I know that You said that You have more than enough for me. I know that You said that You have all the blessings in the heavenly realms ready for me. But God, I'm looking at this situation and I don't see how in the world You're going to take this situation and turn it around to a blessing. And so, God, because of that, I'm going to make a choice. And I'm going to choose the path of least resistance. I'm going to choose what I think is right. And we end up missing out on God's blessing because we doubted His desire to bless us. That's what the Israelites did. They looked at their surroundings and said, "You brought us out in the desert, Moses, you jerk. I'd rather be back in slavery. At least we got food in slavery." Can you imagine how twisted that is? Think about that. At least we had water when we were getting beaten. But that's literally what they're saying. Because they doubted God's desire and God's ability to take the situation and turn it into a blessing. Now, let me pause for a second because I think it's really important. God's blessing always follows God's calling. It's very important to understand that. If you are pursuing something that's not God's calling, you're like, well, I want this because I want it. God's going, yeah, don't expect to be blessed. When you follow God's calling, blessing always follows the path of God's calling. Second, not only do we doubt His desire to bless, but we diminish our expectations. We diminish our expectations. There's a couple different flavors of this. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think, well, this is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. Or my favorite phrase in the whole world, it is what it is. And we diminish our expectations. We literally say to God in that moment, I don't believe You've got anything better for me. I don't believe it. And we become a self-fulfilling prophecy because we diminish our expectations of an undiminished, unlimited God. And we say, well, I want you to think about it this way. When you read through the pages of the Word of God, did God ever ask anyone to do anything easy? Hey, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Go back to the nation where you're most wanted and they're going to kill you because you killed somebody in anger. Go to the guy that knows who you are, who's going to be threatened by your leadership. Walk into his throne room and tell him to let my people, who is really the source of their entire economy and their power in the world, and tell them just to let him go. See what happens. That's why Moses goes, I think you got the wrong guy. I stutter. God goes, don't worry, I'll give you a mouthpiece. Here's Aaron. Okay. Hey, Noah, I want you to build a boat. What's a boat? I don't know. Here's what the plans are. Go for it. It's going to do what? It's going to rain. What's that? Just wait and see. It's going to be awesome. David, I want you to kill this 9-foot-tall giant. Okay, give me a spear and a sword. No. With a stone and some rope. God never asked anyone to do anything easy. God's blessing doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but the end result will be unbelievable. Don't diminish your expectations. Don't think of yourself as less than you are because God sees something in you that no one else does, maybe even you. Don't diminish your expectations. Third, we disregard what he's done in the past. We read the Bible and we go, well, that was in the Bible. God doesn't change. Well, yeah, but that was when, you know, there wasn't all this technology and stuff. God is the creator and sustainer of all things, even technology. The reason technology works is because it goes along the laws and the definitions and the ways that God has created things. Well, yeah, but I think this may be too big for God. God is infinite and transcendent. He is not limited by your thinking, my thinking, time, space, or anything. That's the God we serve. And yet, we disregard what he's done in the past. Maybe you are standing in front of something that seems impassable. Not impossible, impassable. You can't get through. Moses did that when he stood in front of the Red Sea. Maybe you're encountering something that you think you cannot possibly get around. Joshua saw that when he stood up against the walls of the city of Jericho. And what did God say? Just march around it for 7 days. It'll fall. It'll be great. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you've got your phones ready to take pictures. But we disregard all that stuff because, oh, that's the Bible. And we're saying one of two things. Oh, that's the Bible. It's not really true because it's a myth. Or that's the Bible, God has changed somehow. But we don't even just stop there. Some of you have experienced unbelievable things that God's done in your life in the past. And yet you look at that and you go, well, that was then. That was then. As if somehow God desires to work differently in your life today than he did yesterday or 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 30 years ago. God is the same. My challenge to you today, my hope is that you will stop believing the lie and stop limiting the power of God's work in your life. God has some amazing things for you to accomplish. But because you have believed this lie that there's only so much, I pray with everything within me that your eyes and your heart and your faith would open up to realize that we serve a God who is absolutely unlimited and wants to provide you with limitless resources to be all that he's called you to be. So would you do me a favor? I'm going to ask if you would to stand with me right where you are. Because my desire is I want to pray for you, specifically, just like Paul did. Just like Paul prayed for his church at Ephesus. Just go, man, I pray that your eyes would be open to see this. And so I just want to pray that for you this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, I thank you so much for these people that have such an unbelievable desire to know you more. They're here today believing that you've got something that you want them to know and to hear. And God, in this moment, as we are all thinking about the things that are standing in front of us, the things that are in our way, the relationships that are broken that we think can never be put back together, the desires of our heart that have been frayed by the things that haven't happened the way that we wanted them to do, God, the limitations that we feel physically or emotionally or relationally or mentally, God, that are struggling and we're struggling to fight through and we don't see like we can see the other end. God, whatever it is that is in front of us today that we believe is holding us back from becoming the man or the woman that you've called us to be, I pray, God, that more than that, more than the obstacle, we will see the unlimited God. We will stop seeing the things that we believe can hold us back, and we will start seeing the God who wants to pull us through. God, I pray that our minds, that our hearts, that our eyes would be opened and our perspectives would change so that we can embrace all that you've given for us and that we can experience and enjoy your more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen.